academy. Shock my big chest, where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Woke up to CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB.
The internet has been telling me men think about the Roman Empire a lot. I didn't, until the internet started telling me that people did, and I wondered why I didn't. I realized I am more interested in Genghis Khan, because he is the Khan of my heart. Then I started thinking about other things I don't think about, and it got confusing. Once when I was in university, I went to a judo training camp. These aren't competitions, but the coaches there might be the coaches who decide if you are worth their time. So people fight. Hard. The last match of the day, my opponent decided he was going to make a move and did a double ankle grab and flipped me backwards. I took a hard fall and hit the back of my head against the mats. Hard. I don't know if I blacked out, but I woke up confused and with a very wiped memory. This was like cartoon stuff, except it was real and therefore very scary. There are scenes in movies where people wake up in the confusion of battle. This was that, except everyone was wearing white. I was wearing white. Somehow from this singular piece of information, I was able to gauge my safety. We were all dressed the same, so we were all probably in the same group. I got up and wandered around the edge of the mat. A few people came up and checked if I was okay. I just waved them off because I didn't know who these people were. I was terrified and didn't trust anyone. The workshop was finished, and I didn't know what stuff was mine, so I wandered around some more, got water, loitered there until there was only one bag left. I grabbed it and looked for a wallet. Somehow, I knew my own face, but not my name. I recognized my ID, and I read my own name. I had one piece of information. Progress. I changed and still avoided speaking to anyone, and wandered out to the parking lot. There were a few cars left. I had keys in my bag and looked for a matching symbol. The only Volkswagen there was mine. I got in the car and just sat there, finally able to breathe for a minute. I felt a bit safer now, because maybe I was sort of in control of my environment. I sat there and memory started to come back, with no semblance of order. Random things that I knew to be true, but did not have any context for. It was confusing. So I started to drive. Anyone with even a passing sense of medicine knows that every decision I am making is the wrong one. Head injury, not telling anyone, not seeking assistance, driving while in a mental fog. These are bad ideas, but the thing is, I didn't know anyone, and everything was scary, so I did what I thought I needed to do. My body, luckily, naturally turned me in the right direction to go back to the city where I lived. By the time I got back into town, I was back to normal, I think. That is to say, I could remember stuff, and people, and things. I take a certain pride in the fact that I did not panic. I may not have made the best decisions, but I handled myself. Many years later, I told someone about this as amnesia and television came up and I could tell people what it was really like. I had it for about 20 minutes, but it felt like days. After this above story was recounted, very possibly with some flourishes, a coworker asked, "Is there anything you still don't remember?" "I wouldn't know," I said. That is an interesting concept. You wouldn't know what bits are missing because you wouldn't know they were missing. Like my third birthday. I don't remember my third birthday, and I don't know if that's because it was uneventful or because it got knocked out of my head in a training session that I paid for. Evolution has assured us there are many things we don't think about, like you can't see your nose, or that the color purple doesn't exist. If you close one eye, you can see your nose. If you change eyes, you can see your nose. If you close both eyes, you can't see your nose. And if you open both your eyes, you can't see your nose. It's still there. Your brain just doesn't need it in the way all the time, so it just sort of erases it. Your brain just makes the decision to delete your nose all the time, and we don't think about it at all. The color purple isn't really the color purple. It's more the absence of green, which we cannot comprehend. So our brains create purple as a filler so we can just go about our day. Scientifically, purple is not a color because there is no beam of pure light that looks purple. There is no wavelength that corresponds to purple. We see purple because the human eye can't tell what's really going on. Therefore, it is not considered a real color, sort of the same way that royalty doesn't exist. We just accept that it does. So it's there, which makes it interesting that purple is associated with royalty. How do you become royal? You claim a bunch of land and get people to back you up with swords, and then you have some God-given right to all the swans or some shit. Owning all the swans is what really gives it away. That part is clearly made up. So we evolved not to see our nose and to make up purple and so many other things. Evolution is a complicated process, like Pokemon. A variety of factors determines if a Pokemon will level up. The Pokemon's level, when friendship is high, at certain locations or regions, while holding an item. Some unique conditions may impact a Pokemon, like Pancham evolves into Pangoro starting at level 32 if there is a Dark-type Pokemon in the party. Inkay evolves into Malamar starting at level 30 when leveled up while the game system is held upside down, and Feebas evolves into Milotic when leveled up with its beauty condition at 170 or above. I have not encountered any of these conditions, so I assume this has stalled my evolution. If we are in a simulation, as some would suggest, one way to tell is if the system is held upside down and your friend gains an immunity to psychic attacks. Well, there's your confirmation. All of this, so far, is impacted mostly by gravity. As we are on a planet, gravity is with us all the time. So much so that our evolution into what we are is more of an influence than having 999 Gimagool coins in your bag and a Golden Go. Yeah, I know, it's big. Golden Go Gimagool big. The Big Bang happened. Surprisingly, the beginning of the Big Bang would have been small. The rapid expansion was the big part. I am suspicious of the bang bit, to be honest. Sound, vacuums, and all. It's hard to hear anything over a vacuum, so maybe there wasn't any sound, and then the Big Bang, and then an actual bang a little bit after. This created all the building blocks of the universe as we know it. Hydrogen and epoxy. The problem was stuff was everywhere. So to make things stick to other things, which is what the epoxy is for. But it can't stick to anything if there is nothing to stick to. The irony of being a sticky substance with nothing to stick to at the beginning of the universe. Attraction became the fifth element. The movie of the same name from 1997, which was 2 hours and 6 minutes long, much longer than the moment the Big Bang happened, but shorter than the entirety of the universe existing, would have you believe that the fifth element is love. But they are being dramatic for the sake of the story. The preceding four elements would be earth, wind, fire, and funky beats. Every function of your body is subtly regulated by gravity, so much so you don't even realize you are a machine that depends on it. Probably your pesky brain making decisions for you again without your consent. If you truly broke the bonds of gravity, the universe would do what it does to everything, make you into a sphere. It would take time, but the universe has so much time, it doesn't even worry about it. The universe never rushes. It slowly pulls and molds you, softening your inside so you can be gently pulled in all directions at the same time. The height of universal evolution is Kirby. Kirby, for all his cuteness and ability to suck, was not really a character design. What you see in a Kirby game is the placeholder for, probably, some Mario ripoff or something. After working with the pink blob, they decided not to change anything and just use Kirby as is. The universe accepted and approved of this, because it wants you to see what you could become, if only you would forget all about that being bound to a planet nonsense. Known effects of long-term residence in space are decreased bone density, muscle atrophy. The universe is softening you up so it can slowly mold you into a ball. That, or it is waiting until you become the perfect steak, mottled and soft. You are just a sliver of Wagyu to the universe, or you could be. It is impossible to know the ways of the universe at this stage. We do not have the technology or ability to find out if our ultimate destiny is to be Kirby or Wagyu humanity. Perhaps to the universe, they are the same thing. I guess we will know when the furthest flung stars are finally observed to just be barbecues warming up and waiting for our time. This is why barbecue is so universally appealing to us. It is part of the core atoms that make up the universe as we speed away from the Big Bang. So shall we return to the singular fire as the most expensive cut of meat, blobs of fat dripping in to create more planets, but who shall consume us? When Azathoth wakes, the universe will end because the universe is a creation within the dreams of Azathoth. Thus, when the awakening occurs, there will be no more dream for us to exist in. Azathoth is said to not understand its own dream, which isn't that unusual. I once had a dream where Death was standing at the end of my bed holding a bowl of ice cream. Death, the very classic version of Death in a hooded cloak with skeleton hands, was holding a bowl of vanilla ice cream. Upon my realization within the dream that Death was in my room holding a bowl of ice cream, I became very aware that there was a task that needed to be completed. Death communicated to me, but I can't remember if there were words or just a feeling sent into the deepest part of my soul that if the ice cream were to touch the floor, Everyone I know would die. Death then started to curl the gnarled knuckles and twist so that the bowl was rotating ever so slowly, but would eventually succumb to gravity and fall from the bowl to inevitably hit the floor, causing the ruination of everyone I had ever known. Talk about pressure. I had a large, flat piece of wood that I used to put paper on to draw, and I would draw on the wood. I pulled this large, awkward thing from the corner and attempted to position it where the ice cream was destined to fall. It was while doing this that my father entered the room and asked me what I was doing. Apparently, I gave a fairly incoherent answer, as I was in a bit of a panic attempting to save the world, and did not have time for the nonsense of explaining the situation to someone who would not understand, but know this, I was working in his interest. Azathoth just had to be kept asleep by drummers keeping a peaceful beat. Give me that over death ice cream any day. Even then, in my childlike nightmares, gravity played its part. Gravity, a function I did not understand scientifically, was so naturally a part of my psyche, it was elemental in the dream. Otherwise, the ice cream would just have floated away, along with the specter of death, along with me. I mean, that seems kind of fun. So many other aspects of our life are governed by gravity in ways we are not aware. Sleeping with a blanket, the security that it offers, the comfort that comes from the fact that the blanket is being pulled towards the earth via gravity, and therefore has weight. Some people even buy heavier blankets to increase this effect. Basically, they are blankets that are more receptive to gravity and bring us more comfort and security as a result. Pooping and its various functions are all encouraged, centered around gravity. In space, poop particles are a real problem, with real astronauts making real complaints and justifications that the poop invading the mission is not theirs. Astronauts, despite being elevated from Earth and freed from gravity, are still people. They would blame it on the dog if there was one in space. The following is an actual transcript from Apollo 10. "Oh, who did it?" Tom Stafford asked at one point. Confused, Young and Cernan replied, "Who did what?" Cernan, "Where did that come from?" Stafford, "Get me a napkin, quick. There's a turd floating through the air." Young, "I didn't do it. It ain't one of mine." Cernan, "I don't think it's one of mine." Stafford, "Mine was a little more sticky than that. Throw it away." Young, "God almighty." I do like that the astronauts had to give each other instructions to throw away the poop as opposed to let's keep it and study it. Most of your bodily functions function as a result of being developed with the constant force of gravity behind them. Our science fiction dreams have us walking on spaceships with artificial gravity, but the real and faux do not provide the same comfort. It's as if our bodies know the constant of gravity is real. 6 months in microgravity created on the ISS showed a significant decline in cognitive functions. This is obviously Azathoth at work, confusing our minds the way their mind is confused by the entirety of the universe contained within their dream. Manual dexterity is decreased, motion perception and decreased ability to operate vehicles when compared to ground-based controls. Essentially, the longer someone is in space, the worse they get at video games. Simulated gravity has also demonstrated a decrease in positive emotions, abnormal mood swings of fear and anxiety, and short-term memory was impaired. So when the astronaut loses the game they are playing, they will react negatively. This is one of the primary drivers for me not having any astronaut friends. The ultimate loss of gravity would mean that we, as stated before, would become spheres. We would float out into the vastness of space, but then become attracted to each other again, spinning and bumping into each other, sticking to each other because someone broke the bounds of Earth with some epoxy in their pocket. Our Kirby-like bodies would stick together, become more dense, and then collapse to a point where we initiate another big bang all over again. Then someone would say, "Look at all the hydrogen."
Enter the mind of the Academy. Chop my big chest, where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMIB.
Makes me realize that Seth Meyers is really good at his job. And Feebas evolves into Milotic. Milotic. I think that, fuck you, that is not a hard word. And Feebas evolves into Milotic when leveled up. And Feebas evolves into Milotic. Fuck you. Should I try to memorize these and then read it? I bet that would work better. It's because I'm not doing a practice run.